How you entrepreneurs, today we have a very informative one. We have Jeff Fenster. He has started Everbull. It's a fast-growing company. By the end of 2019, they should have 45 leases in place for 45 stores. He tells a story how he's failed at other companies. He learned stuff from there. He doesn't have an ego. That's the one thing that you can, when you listen to this, you're going to definitely hear this. You're going to want to listen. You're going to want to tell your friends, and you're going to want to pick some good nuggets up. All right. Have a great one, guys.
Welcome to the road to growth, success of an entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, we are here with Jeff Fenster with Everbull.
Correct. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Well, impressive. So I've been looking at your history of building at Everbull. You're starting in 2016.
Yep, October.
October. And you're already planning to have 45 leases in place by the end of this year.
Yes, sir.
Wow, I think some people are just focusing on one business, one shop, but you got 45 in that short time. So tell us how we came to this point.
Yeah. So with Everbull, the idea when we started was never to actually be a restaurant. Yeah. I think the restaurant space is a little bit scary, and my background and where I started my education was to more be focused on the entertainment side.
Okay.
So we really wanted to look at and solve a couple of challenges and problems. And being a serial entrepreneur, or degenerate entrepreneur, as my wife calls me, ultimately I look at the world through a set of eyes, you know, a certain perspective, which is one of entrepreneurship and looking at opportunities and ways to come in with fresh eyes and disruption and change markets and see kind of what industries and opportunities are relevant to my passions and interests, and ultimately can I build a sustainable, successful company. So with Everbull, it really was the beautiful marriage of essentially my two biggest passions outside of my family, which is healthy living and industry, entrepreneurship. So we kind of looked at, why do we not eat healthy? What are the reasons why we are killing ourselves with our food choices and our habits? And so taking a bigger, like kind of a step back from that, it comes down to the four main excuses why we don't eat healthy. And those are, it costs too much to eat healthy, it doesn't fill you up, it doesn't taste good, or you can't get it, it's not accessible. And those four reasons, I mean, you know, you can have a very specific excuse here and there as to other reasons you would choose an unhealthy option, but ultimately, if you can solve those four challenges for most people, they will pick the healthier option every time. And being that I'm a super foodie and I love superfoods and I've imported them, I saw that there was an opportunity in the market for someone to come in and disrupt it with making superfoods affordable, accessible, delicious, and then ultimately filling. And, you know, I used to try to eat salads for lunch and I would still be hungry 2 hours later. So I would notice that I was picking a double cheeseburger with fries and a drink. And so with Everbull specifically, the goal was to solve those four things and do it in a unique way that went back to connecting and humanizing the food experience. Because when you look at it, food and music are the two things in society we use from birth to death and almost every life event in between. So they really tie us together in society. But with technology and smartphones, most restaurants you go in, everyone's staring at a phone, and now there's digital ordering screens, and you no longer have that connection. And so we really wanted to reinvent the way we eat and answer those four things. And so Everbull, which our tagline is made from stuff that's been around forever, is essentially that. It's a healthy, quick-serve craft superfood restaurant where we specialize in, today, four main base ingredients: acai, pitaya, graviola, and acerola. And we allow you to top it with unlimited toppings of your choice for one low price. And it's a big, massive bowl, much bigger than our competition. So we can solve those things. And we can make sure that you can come in and afford your food, love what you choose, and love what you eat because you chose it, fill you up. And then we need to have a lot of stores and make them accessible to everybody everywhere. So that's why we have a very rapid expansion plan.
If anyone else is listening right now, you can definitely tell his elevator pitch is on point. It's going to be a long elevator ride, but it's definitely on point. Now, I have to jump back to a couple things. Okay, the healthy idea. Have you always eaten healthy?
No.
Okay, what happened there?
Yeah, so I didn't know about eating healthy when I was younger. You know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and the internet wasn't in my pocket, so you don't always have access to information. And so, you know, low-fat diet, all the different fads and trends along the way. I was always relatively healthy, but I definitely ventured off the course that I am today. But understanding that I believe it's easier to prevent illness than cure illness. And knowing that and trying to be my best self health-wise and prevent a lot of the diseases and illnesses that are plaguing Americans today and at a very high rate, friends and family have gone through, I started eating healthy and I started researching the power of different foods and superfoods and the nutrition. And, you know, there's an analogy I like to say, which is we are so protective of our cars that if I walked outside to anyone's car with a spoonful of sugar and tried to put it in your gas tank, you'd probably beat me up or have me arrested. But we'll put laboratory created foods and chemicals into our bodies every day, not realizing that that's our fuel. That's what makes us thrive and be our best self. So I'm getting better every day. I still sometimes, you know, cheat and eat things I shouldn't, but I strive every day to eat healthy, and that's kind of been a focus.
Was there a friend or a family member that maybe was getting ill or passing away, or I mean something like that, that kind of gave you the idea to research? Because it seems like not off the back someone's gonna say today's the day that I'm gonna research to be healthy. Like, what was there that catalyst?
My aunt, when I was 9, she passed away from breast cancer, and I just remember when not understanding death and her being such a meaningful part of my life, and talking to my father, who was a physician, and trying to understand why she died so young and cancer. And it didn't trigger then, but I think the seed was planted in me at that point when he kind of explained that, you know, cancer is a very scary disease. And how do you tell a 9-year-old about it? It's kind of been one of my phobias, my fears. I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac. I think it stems from that. And so just growing up, and as information became more readily available through smartphones and internet and Google, and you didn't have to go into some big library and do research that I wasn't going to do as a teenager, I became more aware, you know. And as I grew older and started to have little aches and pains, and you Google those symptoms and you start to see different things, it made me more aware. And I think over it progressed. I mean, there was not one key moment when I was like you said, you don't wake up one day and say, hey, today's the day.
Yeah.
But I started to understand more. And as you read more and learn more, it starts to compound itself on itself. And I think if I had to pick the moment, I would say it was the passing of my aunt when she was 9, kind of put a healthy fear of disease in me and trying to prevent that. So I, you know, me and my loved ones don't have to go through, unfortunately, what she had to go through, and hopefully help other people prevent that, because research today is showing that a much higher percentage of obesity, heart attack, stroke, and cancer is nature. It's not it's habits. It's not you weren't born with a, you know, bad set of genes that are causing it. It's lifestyle habits and what we're exposed to in nature.
The older I get, the more I see that age is really just a number. You can see someone that's 60 and another person is 60. One person looks like they're 80, another person looks like they're still 40. Like, it's really your lifestyle, what you eat and what you put in your body. It's really, and for me, I never really thought about that. Like, when you're back in the day in like high school, college, you're just like, I eat whatever, I can work out, we're still good. And then I still remember, like, one of my friends, he kept telling me all the time, you gotta look at the sugar, you gotta look at this, you gotta, okay, no, you don't wanna do this, you wanna do this, haven't you? I'm like, all right, man, I gotta look at this stuff. So, no, I totally understand where you're coming from. So, getting back to the idea that you wanted to start something in the entertainment business, okay, so what was that vision? What was that vision before you actually veered off to this platform?
Well, so I originally went to law school to be a sports agent.
Okay.
The idea that the entertainment space of connecting with humans and people and that whole aspect is very important to me. I have a personal philosophy in business that the core philosophy at Everbowl, you ask any of our employees or any of my other companies, is make friends and have fun. Humanize and connect. We are people. We like to do things together. And when, you know, whether you're in sales or you're in selling a product or a service, if you're selling to a stranger, you're not going to have that connection. But when you make friends and have fun with people and you build the rapport and you expand your relationship capital and the ability to call on people and they know you and appreciate you and they like you and they understand that you're hopefully doing something that's in their best interest, it's much easier to sell them a product or a service. It's much easier to get them to make a phone call or help you out. So it's really served me well throughout my career. With Everbowl, it's been lost in the restaurant space, especially the quick serve. Too many times I walk into quick serve restaurants, I go up to place my order, and it's like it's a human, but I'm talking to a robot. They're looking through me. They don't care. They're not connecting. The culture isn't there. We've lost that. It's like, well, you're just here for food. And I didn't enjoy that. And so I looked at, can we create a fun, exciting atmosphere where people can come in, be their best self, have some fun with superfoods, connect with humans, be in their community? So we've done we have a focused effort on that. So all of our stores, we hire within the community. We donate money to all the community events, the schools, the sports teams. We have an overarching why, which I'm sure we'll get into in a little bit, which is bigger than our restaurants, which is unevolve. And that's a word we created and trademarked, and it's to move and eat the way we were meant to unevolve. And obviously we've over-evolved in society with so much technology that we no longer have to move our bodies and or eat real stuff, laboratories can create food for us, and technology can essentially make it to where you can do a lot sitting in one chair. So Everbowl was meant to solve the food side of Unevolve, and that's on the front of all of our employees' T-shirts. It's in the walls on our store, and it's kind of like a sports team concept, which is we're on team Unevolve, and Everbowl's an individual player on that team. And so, you know, that's kind of been the whole idea of, can we make it fun? And if you connect with people and the customers, they'll come back more, and we'll help them be healthier. And we wouldn't get that if it was just focused on food.
So, and this is something usually we'll save for later, but I'm kind of curious about it with the idea of Uninvolve, right? That platform, and you're saying basically Everbowl is a kind of a subsection of that.
Correct.
So do you plan to expand out into other platforms?
Yeah, so Uninvolve is there now. What we use it for is, again, it's on the front of our employees' T-shirts. It's on the walls in our stores. Yeah. It is meant to be. That's what we support. That's our why.
Everbowl is one subsection of Uninvolve, and then is there going to be like a juicing company or like another company that's under the Uninvolve also too?
No, sorry, okay. I misspoke. So Uninvolve is our why. It's our why, and it's bigger than Everbowl because Uninvolve is.
It's
live strong.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what connects us all. It's what allows you to say, you know what, I'm going to go have an Uninvolve moment. I'm going to take the stairs instead of the elevator, the three flights.
Okay.
I'm going to take my dog for a walk. I'm going to garden. I'm going to stand.
It's a lifestyle.
A lifestyle. Exactly. Okay. It's the lifestyle side of our business.
Yeah.
Where the Everbowl is just a food component inside of Uninvolve. And if a customer chooses to go to a competitor of ours, but they follow the Uninvolve motto and that's what they are, we support that. You don't have to come to Everbowl. We're about pushing forward Uninvolve, making everyone be their best self through movement and eating stuff that's been around forever.
Yeah.
And so we're doing our part on the food side because that's the part that most of us are struggling a lot with.
Yeah.
You know, you can go work out for 3 hours and take care of that with a single meal at some fast and fried restaurant.
Yeah.
So what we consume every day is what's plaguing us. So that's why with Everbowl is our easiest way to deliver the Uninvolve message. Mm. But that platform, that why, that's kind of what we're really trying to bring to the world.
Fair enough. So I'm assuming it wasn't all easy opening up one store to the next store to the next store to the next store to the next one, so on and so forth. But so can you kind of walk us through how this happened? How were you able to do it? Like,
sure. So started the first store.
Yeah.
Lived and breathed there. Lived and slept there for the first 4 months and understood that the goal was to expand rapidly. And another business philosophy of mine is to be the dumbest guy in the room. Hmm. I pride myself on being educated and learning as much as I can, but most importantly, I want to surround myself with best in breed rock stars at what they do and build a dream team. I'm a big sports fan, so when you look at the best sports franchises and the best sports teams, it's usually the best team. It's not the best individuals, but it's the best team of players. And so essentially dropping your ego and allowing experts to come in and integrate themselves into the organization and get their DNA into the fabrics of Everbowl, and us doing that and doing that well, we have an incredible team of people at Everbowl from all the different elements that allowed us and empowered us to get to where we are. And the collection of all the rock stars is kind of what allowed us to grow so quickly, and keeping the vision. And so by losing the ego, I find a common mistake I see a lot of entrepreneurs make is they're so afraid of letting someone else kind of take the credit for something inside the organization that they don't necessarily tell their team how to do what they need to do, but they don't give them the freedom to let their expertise shine. So we're really opposite to that. You know, we want all of our team members to give us advice and give us tips. And if they have ideas, we want them. And from you start day one and you're at a register in a store all the way through to, you know, our chief operating officer or CFO, we want any advice and tips internally, and we try to incorporate it all. And that just allows us to now grow our team. So instead of having just me and one or two other people sitting here making decisions, we're getting ideas from 435 people company-wide.
So, okay, again, if you get to that point where you have the 45 leases in place by the end of the year, right, in less than 3 years, okay, that's an impressive feat, okay? So you not having an ego and allowing other people to talk and allowing other people to give their feedback on it, who keeps you in check?
That's a great question.
Because there has to be, I mean, I'm assuming something or someone to keep your ego in control, because I think a lot of people, even if they had probably 10 stores, right, 10 leases in place, they'd be I'm the biggest, baddest person around. Like, so,
I mean, I don't even wish I could take credit for it. Like I said, I mean, truly it's a collection of our team. I'm blessed and fortunate to be surrounded by such incredible people. I think what I bring to the organization and what keeps my ego in check or keeps me in check to keep doing that is I recognized years ago the failure that I, some of the failures I had was because I didn't allow experts to be experts and realize that I don't know everything. Hmm. And when you come to terms with that and feel good that, you know, yeah, of course, everybody wants a little bit of the credit. And I understand, especially entrepreneurs or the people that are at the, you know, in the high charity at a company, they almost feel that need a little more than others. But you'll never, you become unbeatable. And success almost becomes a foregone conclusion when you allow the collection of team members to feel empowered and see their DNA and fabric in the company and know that that was them. And when they get that realization, all of a sudden, you're going that much faster. You're in the fast lane now, and they don't want to leave. So you get better tenure with your staff. It's a team, and you look at all the best teams. The best team usually wins. And so, I think just my previous failures and experience has taught me that. And so I don't really need.
Can you
much.
Talk about some of those previous failures?
Sure. You know, I've had a handful of companies.
Okay.
I started my first company at 24, and it was a payroll and HR company. Started with a very good friend of mine, and we had a lot of success, but we also had, we pushed out some amazing people along the journey, not knowingly, but just because we weren't really aware that our ego was standing in the way of the betterment of success. And when someone feels like they came to this team with a certain set of skills and they can't really put those to use and they kind of feel trapped or hindered, you're killing it. They're going to leave and that's going to hurt the organization. And so, I've definitely had my share of failure companies. I've started a handful that didn't work out.
Yeah.
I started a company called We Create, and the idea, which I still love and I plan on doing again at some point, was to empower entrepreneurs to we create companies together. And that came, the idea was that I could bring whatever pieces they didn't have. So if they needed access to capital, I had some relationships that I could bring. They don't know how to do a startup and they're very, you know, specifically skilled in a certain task. And it was, the whole concept was putting together a group of people to do that. And that was my goal. Where I failed was I had an ego then. And so when I started to meet with some entrepreneurs, it kind of felt like I still wanted to be the guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't need to be. And I wish I could go back and actually undo that. And so my future self, when I do We Create again sometime in the future, or at least that concept, it's going to be done with much more mature eyes and a much more pragmatic approach.
Wow. Anyone's listening right now, that's a really great idea right there. We Create. He's coming back to it. But that's a really interesting idea, because most people have this dream or this idea that they're going to do, and they just don't know where to go or how to get there. And so having that structure around them is huge.
At least having a group of people that they can rely on.
Done it,
You know, I have a mentor, and I'm very big on mentorship and internships, and I've interned a ton in my life. And one of my biggest mentors, you know, he's really stressed to me since I was a kid the power of relationship capital and really what that means. And it doesn't mean you know a lot of people, but there's no value. It's paying it forward first to those people and giving, I mean, he'll say five times the value up front, to where you've earned the right to ask for a favor, or they want to help you just because of what you've done for them. Yeah. And they think you are awesome because you've given so much first. That now, as you want to navigate your career, whether it's get a job in an industry or with a company that you really want, or start your own company, or get access to capital, or meet the right person who could potentially buy your product or service, when you have expansive relationship capital that you've nurtured and given to so much over the course of your career, you can really use it to kind of cut a lot of corners and jumpstart, you know, or fast track.
Do you have a good memory?
Okay, pretty good memory.
No, I mean, like, because I think one of the struggles that I even deal with is the idea of a CRM and remembering every single conversation I had with a person. And there's people that I know that have fantastic memories. They'll see someone today and not see them for another 8 years, and they'll still remember the conversation they had. And so it makes it easy for friendships to grow, because people want to feel important. That's one of the biggest things for most people. They want to feel that they're important.
Yep.
And so when you can remember that conversation about little Johnny or whatever it might be, it's like, wow, okay, this person remembers. He likes me.
I wish I had a better memory.
Yeah.
I don't have that good of a memory, no. But what I do try to do is I try to at least connect with a lot of people, make a lot of friends, have a lot of fun. I try to be accessible. So if someone reaches out to me, I'm always trying to help.
Yeah.
You know, I had a payroll, I had a digital marketing agency, and the whole foundation of our digital marketing agency, which we had some amazing clients, some very big customers, but we didn't start there. Yeah. And we realized early on that we were too expensive for most companies. And we did that because of kind of the infrastructure we had and the team we had. So what was our path to success? So what we did is we gave away services for free.
Yeah.
So pretty much anyone who reached out, we would help for free. We would get on the phone with them. We'd spend some time. We wouldn't, you know, do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
But we gave analysis. We would spend time. Send us your email questions. Like, we will help you, and we will connect you with smaller agencies who could, and try to give value back. And yeah. What did that do? Well, those companies that grew into sizes that could afford us,
yeah.
They ended up becoming customers. Huh. The ones who didn't, anyone else, they had nothing but amazing things to say because we provided so much free value to them
that
cost them nothing that they almost felt obligated to pay it back. And so that allowed us to build that company. So, you know, developing those relationships with a pay it forward first mentality, I don't think you'll have to remember the story about little Johnny, because they're going to remember so much about what you did for them that you will have that. You will have that rapport, and you will have that comfort to know that, you know what, I can call and say, hey, Vinny, can you help me meet so-and-so? And it's because hopefully I've done something for you first. It's when I think too many people approach it with, what can you do for me?
Yeah.
Instead of, get that out of your head. What can I do for you?
Yeah.
And then the rest will then pay it back. And you end up getting more from it than you thought.
That makes sense. No, and jumping back to the idea of all the different companies you've had and some of the failed and so on and so forth, how many of those individuals that work for you in those different companies have transitioned over to your new company? Has
worked
there been?
So currently at Everbowl, we don't have anyone that worked for me at previous companies, but there are a handful of my friends and professionals. So they're all, I work with friends.
Okay.
And
no.
Yeah. And they're friends that I've had my entire life, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And some of them are newer friends, but we've worked either collaboratively over the years.
Yeah.
It's obviously, I jump around to different industries, so it's hard to find employees that want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't usually do the same industry twice
because
I find it's easier to come in with fresh eyes and disruption and come with no experience, which is a different topic. But my employees don't necessarily. So my payroll and HR specialists don't really have a lot of experience in the food space or the digital marketing space. And my marketers didn't have a lot of experience. So it's really hard to pull employees.
Yeah.
But I can call on them now, and we're still very close. Well,
the only reason I ask, because you talk to so many people, and you're giving back to all these different people. One person told me this idea once. He goes, if you meet someone that has talent, right, you have to look them in the eyes and say, one day I'm working for you, or you're working for me. and that's the way you look at it. And once he told me that idea, it changed the way I looked at people. Because just like, you see talent every single day, and when you see that talent, you're almost like, I want to find a way to be part of this team, or you be part of my team. Like, so just,
Well, I mean, you're totally right. And that's been something that we've done so well of is our, and I'm going to go back to it again, just the power of our team.
Yeah.
Because we have a collection of insanely talented people. And what's great about it is it attracts more talent.
Yeah.
You know, stars like to be around stars.
Yeah.
And no one feels intimidated, and people have that freedom to thrive and be and do them and be the expert that they are in their field and get to do it with other rock stars.
Yeah.
It's so attractive that it makes your sphere grow.
Yeah.
And that's what we're noticing at Everbowl. So it's allowing us to do exactly that. So when we notice talent, we would love to incorporate them into the organization and work together as opposed to for anyone, me or someone else.
When looking back at your younger self, the one that's started the companies, or maybe someone else looking to kind of start one of their companies right now, what kind of advice would you give someone?
So I hit the first one, which is
put good people around you.
Well, yes, and be the dumbest guy or girl in the room.
Yeah.
And really understand that I don't mean show up unprepared. That's not what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, make sure that you are as educated on the topic as you can. Make sure that you are prepared and going to put in all the hard work. And then surround yourself with someone who maybe is even better than you at that.
Mm.
And it kind of goes to the, you know, in the restaurant space, it's lead with the broom, which is, if I can just sweep every day because every other element of the organization is taken care of, that's great. Because I'm going to be the best sweeper we've got. Because as a business owner, it doesn't matter whether I serve you a great bowl of food or sweep, they're equally important. And so what we like to do is let everyone gravitate to where they want to be, plus mirror their strengths, and kind of take the executive approach of, we will sweep, we will clean the toilets, if you can handle the rest and give people the freedom to go be that. And so my advice to anyone starting a company, unless it's a one man or woman show, is be open to talent and attract it. Don't put up walls that make them want to leave and go do their own thing because they feel like their ideas aren't being heard or they can't express their expertise. You know, to use a sports analogy, but you can't take a home run hitter and ask them to bunt all the time. They're going to want to leave. So it's that concept. And so I think I notice, and I get a lot of requests for help from different entrepreneurs over the years and friends of mine who are starting their company and, or, you know, advice. And one of the things I noticed from a lot of companies, especially executives that I talk to that are friends of mine, and I see them doing it, is they're pushing their talent away instead of recognizing that just lose the ego. Pay it forward, lose the ego, let them be the great. So you look at our design in our stores, we have the best branding in the world. And Eric Brossel is our chief branding officer, and you know, his ability to create incredible, his ability to take what's in your mind and turn it and manifest it into something real and make it look incredible is second to none. And I have zero to do with that. And it's amazing because with his freedom to do that and giving him the blank slate and say, go do it, you know, now whether he's a partner at Everbull, but whether you're an employee or an executive or a partner or an investor or the owner, when you get that freedom, you feel like it's your own company anyway.
How do you think, like, as you're expanding at such a rapid rate and you're seeing talent, because you've seen it, I mean, with restaurants, with businesses, with franchises, all these different entities right there, sometimes some of the best talent comes from the person that was the cleaning person or like the front desk person, whoever it might be. So once you're expanding, you're going to get that talent, those nuggets that rise to the top. What's your way of assessing it on a consistent basis where you can see that person's being underutilized in that store, underutilized in that department, whatever it might be? How are you going to stay on top of that? Do you have an idea for that? Or
yeah, it's the culture. It starts with a culture that breeds freedom to express.
Okay.
And we have a open door policy where any employee can call me or anyone else in the company. Wow. We go into the stores. We want face-to-face. We're on a first-name basis. We are very, very, very mellow as far as there's no real hierarchy in structure in the traditional sense. Obviously, there's a hierarchy in structure corporately, but in the traditional sense. So someone's first day, we tell them, we actually have, you know, Brian Augustine is our chief development officer, and, you know, we have an Everbull University that we like to put employees through where we give them kind of who we are and teach them our culture and what we're about. And in that, we really stress, make sure you know that if you see something that you think we could be doing better, we want that. We want constructive feedback and criticism when we earn it, and pat us on the back when we do something good, because we're learning too, right? It's not built. We're a startup. We're navigating the waters, and I don't have all the answers, and none of my executives do either. So if someone has good advice, anyone listening to the show, if you know something we could do better, email me, because we really want all that feedback. What we want is we want Everbull to be the best we can make it, right? We want that experience to be top-notch. So that's what we're after.
How many employees, lower-level employees, have actually – because you hear what you're saying, and like just talking to you, it seems like, of course, you're telling the truth to it. Yet as an employee, maybe, I don't know, minimum wage or whatever you're making there, and the owner of the company tells you, feel free to call me. Feel free to call me if you have an idea. You're still like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm really calling. How many have actually called you?
Not necessarily called me, but we see each other or someone else, but all the time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, not every day, but all the time. And we've had a handful of employees that have reached out. And I mean, what I'll say that's amazing is this generation of youth. So one of the fun things about Everbull is we hire high school and college aged adults as primarily the majority of our workforce, young adults. And a lot of them, it's their first job or second job. When I was that age, I felt like what you just said. Like, I don't know that I would have felt confident to go into the boss's office and say, hey, I have this idea. We should stop doing this because it's a mistake. Yeah. I mean, that's obviously hard for someone to do. But today's generation, they don't have that reservation. We get advice from people all the time, even the ones that don't even know we want it.
Yeah.
And it's great. And we do want it. And obviously, the only thing that is a fine line that we try to be delicate with is you don't want to, sometimes you don't incorporate the idea, and you don't want them to feel like, oh, they don't take my idea. That's not always the case, because there's always a bigger picture and a bigger direction. But so we definitely get a fair share. And I will tell you, a lot of the things and customs and practices we do internally is from our staff.
Wow.
They didn't start that way. We are a very different company. The day I started with 7 employees to where we are now, a lot has changed, and a lot of those ideas and direction and processes that we put in did not come from me or the executive team.
What's next for Everbowl?
Yeah.
What's the future?
Everbowl is what we're ultimately building is a platform and a delivery system of superfoods to make you your best self. So our restaurants are great. We're going to keep expanding. We're going into Petco Park on May 16th.
Wow.
We're excited to be part of the Padres, and we're going into the San Diego Zoo as well.
Okay.
Plus, we're going into a bunch of universities.
What are you more excited about? These are hard-hitting questions now. San Diego Zoo or Petco Park?
That's tough. That's tough. Those are two of my favorite places as a kid. I mean, I'm a San Diego native, and I was a diehard Padres fan, and I was also an annual zoo pass member, and I used to take my daughter when she was younger there twice a month. So to ask me which I'm more excited about,
that's like actually which kid is like better.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Okay. I think for different reasons, I like them both differently.
Fair. Political answer.
Yeah.
All right. So besides that, so you're expanding to those two entities, 45 leases by the end of the year. What's your plan? Do you already plan it out for 2020? How many leases and so on and so forth?
We don't have a store count, but what we also want to now do is expand outside of the stores. So we're looking and entering into the CPG, the consumer packaged goods arena. Mm-hmm. We just launched our first product last week, which is a Super Fuel coffee. It's acai and superfood infused coffee. And our unique selling proposition there is you drink coffee anyway. You may not always have access to superfoods or eat superfoods. So why not drink your superfoods with your coffee? And so we are obviously superfoodies, and we import a bunch of superfoods and sell them every day in our store. So we know a thing or two about them. And I'm also a very big coffee drinker. And so combining the two for us is another way for us to kind of improve someone's health who may not be an Everbowl customer.
So, okay, I'm fairly uneducated about this. So would it be infused together with the beans, or how is it? Okay, it would be. Okay.
Yep. So you just brew a normal cup.
Yeah.
We launched it with K-Pods, so a Keurig or Keurig compatible machine.
Yeah.
And then in about 45 to 60 days, our ground coffee's coming. And so you make it the way you normally make a cup of coffee. The only difference is when you drink it, you're getting antioxidants and you're getting some of the power of the superfoods that are in each SKU or each cup.
Yeah.
And it's functional coffee. It's giving you something you're doing already, but now making it say, hey, I'm getting more antioxidants without having to do anything different.
Yeah. I know this is a little ways out. Do you have an idea how it would price-wise compared to regular coffee?
Yeah, it's only about $1 or $2 more on the K-Pods. And the ground, we haven't finished our pricing yet, so I don't know how that'll. But we are selling our boxes for $12.99, and the average box sells for $9.99 or $10.99.
Oh,
so
wow,
we're only $1 or $2 more, and we're going to work to try to drive that cost down, because that's one of the four challenges why we don't eat healthy is cost. So we're doing everything we can to do that. And one of the ways we're trying really hard is through vertical integration of additional companies that we're starting to help reduce the costs, and we can return the savings back to our customer and make it more accessible. And so currently we sell Super Fuel Coffee on Amazon as well as on superfuelcoffee.com, and we'll be selling it in the stadium as well as in our stores very soon.
Wow. Is there any other places to sell coffee in the stadium right now?
Dunkin' Donuts is in the stadium, but only at the main eats, the main eatery sections.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Fair enough.
But not Super Fuel.
Yeah, it's not exactly. No, it's not Super Fuel. It's definitely not Super Fuel. All right. So I have to jump in this before we finish up. And if you're not in San Diego, I know we have listeners in other areas. I'm a big Padre fan, Forrest fan. I have to ask you, what's your take on the team now?
Now that's my favorite question you asked me. I think we can win 90 games this year. I mean, we're on pace for 92, I believe, right now. I love what they're doing. I think management really took a good look at the mistakes the San Diego Padres have made since I've been a kid and been going to games, which is they make these very short runs because they overinvest in veterans that are near the end of their prime and overpay for it. So we have a 1 or 2 year window, and there's no time for the team to gel. This ownership group really took a step back and I think took a little advice from the Houston Astros on how they built from the farm system. And so with the Padres, with our young group, I mean, we have 7-8 potential all-stars that are all under the age of 26, and you sign a guy like Machado, which just brings the star power to the lineup, and Tatis getting the call, and I'm very excited. I think San Diego's finally going to have our opportunity.
Everything you've been saying, I think there is some synergy between what the Padres is doing now and what is going on with Everbowl. The ability, and listen guys, give me a second. So the ability to find talent, and when talent rises to the top, allow the opportunity to take that next step. With old management for the Padres, if a person like Tatis was doing really well, they would not have brought him up on opening day. They would have waited until a couple months, and then they got an extra year of service time. Mm-hmm. Same thing with some of the pitchers like Chris Paddock. So I think there is some synergy right there. All right. So hopefully all you entrepreneurs listening right now got some great stuff about Everbowl. If you are looking to be a little healthier, looking to be self-conscious, looking to look good with your shirt off, you might want to – hey, also, too, if you're a Padre fan, you're going to probably want to go to Everbowl. Jeff is a Padre fan. And if you're from San Diego, you should be a Padre fan. That's our team. So all you entrepreneurs, what's the best way to find out where the new Everbowls are, Jeff?
Everbowl.com or on our Instagram, at Everbowl Craft Superfood. We always will post about it, and we'll make sure that we're going to come to a city near you if you're not in San Diego. But if you are in San Diego or surrounding areas, please come support both the Padres in San Diego as well as Everbowl. And we look forward to making friends with you and helping you be your best self.
Live the uninvolved life, guys, and go to Everbowl. Have a great one. Please subscribe and tell your friends.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.